The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Psalm 111, verse 1. Hallelujah. Psalm 111, verse 1. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord, for they are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him, and he remembers his covenant forever. What leapt off the page at me was verse 1. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. I will extol, not extort. Okay, a lot of people try to extort the Lord. If you don't know what it means, go look it up. It'll mean more to you when you find out for yourself. Extol the Lord means to praise loud. I'm going to praise the Lord loud. You cannot extol the Lord quietly. You can worship the Lord quietly. You can. I mean, you can worship the Lord without even speaking words, without making a single sound. Sometimes the greatest act of worship is your silence. And if you can't speak the language of faith, you certainly need to learn the language of silence. Because in this court of the spiritual law, every word you say can and will be used for you by God or against you by the enemy. And sometimes my silence in the face of adversity shows my faith and trust in God. And in that silence, I'm listening. And when I'm listening, I'm waiting. And when I'm waiting, I'm hearing. And when I'm hearing, I'm speaking. And when I speak, after having heard from God, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When I speak after hearing, I said this Wednesday night, I'm going to say it again because it was so good. The Lord said this, when you repeat back, that's echo. Everybody say echo. If we stood at the edge of a canyon right now and I said, Yahoo! Would it sound like this? No, it wouldn't sound like that. It would sound exactly the same. When I said that, it wouldn't sound like her voice. It would revert back to me exactly as it was. When you speak what Jesus tells you to speak, the devil can't tell the difference between your voice and Jesus' voice. That's why Jesus said to flesh and blood people like the disciples and us in Mark chapter 11, that if you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth, you can speak to a mountain. And that mountain will obey you and be cast in the sea. Why? Not because you decided to cast the mountain in the sea, but you were told to tell the mountain. That's where people miss it. They try to operate in foolishness and call it faith. If God didn't speak it, that's not faith. It might be, I want it, but that doesn't make it faith. It might be, well, I have a written promise that says that God did it for someone else, but I need a rhema word from God to link my faith to activate and energize my faith. We all got light switches in our house, and we can flip them, but if the power's not on, the light ain't coming on. If God didn't instigate it, it doesn't matter what I do to try to make it happen. It's not going to happen. But if he instigates it, I can activate it. If he instigates it, you can activate it. So we need to be good listeners. David wrote this psalm, I'll praise the Lord, I'm going to extol him. That means I'm going to shout loud for all to hear. He said, even in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Do you see that? In the assembly. Amongst my brothers and sisters and out loud. And I realize we all got personalities. Some of us more than others. Some of us are more timid. Man, there are people that are just so bold. You just think, oh my God. And you might think I'm that way, but you'd be wrong. I'm bold when it comes to the things of God because there's an anointing to be bold. But apart from the things of God, I'm as shy as any person in this room. I promise you that. When I walk into a basketball game in this community that I've been in for all these years, when I walk into that gymnasium and all them people are there, I wish I was invisible because it's out of my comfort zone. I'm shy. That's the truth. When I have to call somebody or talk to somebody and I don't know, I have to force myself to do it. I'm shy like that. But when it comes to the things of God, I don't let me get in the way of what God wants to do. Come on. And he anoints us with boldness. Last week I took Sharon up to the state capitol. We were invited to go up with some other ministers and pray with the legislators. That's a good thing, man. There are a lot of good Christian legislators. You need to be holding them up in prayer. When you think of politics, don't just think of the bad part. There are Christian men and women who've given up their normal everyday lives to go and serve all of us by diving right in the midst of the swamp with all the snakes and gators to try to make a difference. So we have a responsibility. Timothy 2 tells us to pray for all those in authority and leadership so that our lives will be peaceful and we can live a godly life. Amen. Well, if church is against the law, and if you can't tell anybody about Jesus and you can't quote the Bible without being thrown in prison, we're not going to live peaceful, godly lives. Except for in the supernatural peace of God. But our outward lives are not going to be peaceful and godly. So we need an awakening and a revival in America to move us toward right things. Amen? So pray for these people. Amen. Psalmist wrote, I'm going to praise God in a loud voice so everybody can hear it. And when we're together, everybody's going to hear it. And he's going to praise and he's going to talk about how great are the works of the Lord. Look at that verse again. Verse 2, great are the works of the Lord. They are to be pondered by all who delight in them. Pondered, what does that mean? Thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. I'm sitting there just remembering it, replaying in my mind the works of the Lord, the goodness of God. What has he done in your life? There are people in here today that if God did not spare them from a drug overdose, they wouldn't be breathing right now. There are people in this room that God took a hold of you in the midst of something that was about to take you out of this earth, and he prevented it from happening and said, I got plans for you right now. You say, well, I never had a near-death experience, and I've never been drug overdosed or any of that kind of stuff. My life's been kind of boring. Well, that's an awesome testimony, Mr. or Mrs. Boring. That's a wonderful testimony. It's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. But the fact of the matter is, you got to be saved just like everybody else. So we can all rehearse the goodness of God. And that's what he's telling us to do. The Lord gave me four things personally to focus on, and I believe I'm supposed to share these with you. I don't know how many times I will. Maybe 52 times this year, I don't know. God said this, number one thing, don't let it go. Celebrate every victory. Celebrate every victory. Every little bitty victory. Hallelujah. John, sitting back here in the back, was telling me about a testimony in his life that happened a while back, and he had a mishap, and he fell, and they were trying to move, and he tripped and hit his head on a moving trailer. Hit him right by the eyeball. Tim, boy, it messed him up. You know what he said in the midst of telling me that testimony? He said this. He said, but praise God, my glasses weren't broke. Didn't you, John? He said, my glasses weren't broke. See, he stopped in the midst of telling me about this situation to focus on the fact that his glasses weren't broke. What are you focused on? God is good. My glasses didn't get broke. Come on. You can turn any negative into a positive if you will look at he who promises to be working together for your good in all things. Romans 8:28 says, amen. So we want to be bragging on God, rehearsing all the good things he's done. Listen to me, church. If you don't take up the practice of pondering the works of God and keeping them in your forefront of your mind and think about what God has done, the enemy is going to do everything he can with the help of the lying prophet, that's known as the media, to provoke fear in you and cause you to feel like, where's God now? Where's God now? And you keep God right there in front of you. He is in everything that we acknowledge him in. Are you acknowledging him in your money? Then he's there. Are you acknowledging him in your health? Then he's there. Are you acknowledging him in your nation? Then he's there. Listen, if God can work his will while the Romans are ruling Palestine, he can sure get past the administration in Washington. Come on, am I telling you the truth? What have you got to be worried about? Answer, nothing. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Not when you're saved. When you're a child of God, a bride of Christ, you got nothing to worry about. Amen. And Jesus in Matthew 6 said, do not worry, saying, that's the problem with worry. Internal worry becomes external speaking, and what you believe and speak, you're going to produce it. Amen. Verse 5, he provides food for those who fear him. Let me clear something up. When Sharon was a little girl, she heard a lot about fearing the Lord. She grew up fearing the Lord. Matter of fact, she was so afraid of the Father, she wouldn't even talk to him. How many know that's not what that's talking about? They told a little girl, you need to fear the Lord. You need to fear the Lord. You fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And she goes, oh, I am afraid of him. She would talk to Jesus, but she wouldn't even look up to talk to Heavenly Father because he's fearsome. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a reverence of love that makes you in awe of his presence. That's what it's talking about. It's reverence. It's not fraidy cat fear. So he provides food for those who reverence him. If you'll acknowledge him in your provision, you'll always be provided for. No matter what. Help me out. Was there a toilet paper shortage created by a fear stampede? There never was a shortage. It's just a fear stampede that created it. I went to Walmart one day a couple years ago and there was no toilet paper. How many of you remember that? Raise your hand. I'm going to say this. Did anybody in this room ever have to do without toilet paper? Not one of us was without toilet paper. There's a this shortage. There's a that shortage. Could have fooled me. I've had everything I need all along. Let's show me pictures of bare shelves all day long. I don't care because I respect and honor and revere and worship and awe my Lord God Almighty, and he will provide everything I need. If he had to, he can rain it out of heaven. He did it before. He took 6 million people into a desert and sustained them for 40 years. And their clothes didn't wear out, and they never missed a meal. And here's an even better one. And not one among them was feeble until they died. And the only reason they died, help me out, Bible scholars, why did they die in the desert? Because they grumbled and complained. Their unbelief killed them. God didn't kill them. Their unbelief killed them. Their unbelief caused them to murmur and groan at Moses and everything else. Oh, was there not enough meat in Egypt? Did you lead us out here to starve us to death? God goes, I'm going to hold you to those words. All you grumblers and complainers, when I told you to send spies over there and they came back and they told you that it looks just exactly like God said it did you believe them? Nobody believed. All the people's like, oh, no, I don't know. I heard giants. That's all I heard. Listen, they come back from Canaan land carrying a cluster of grapes. How many of you know how they carried it? No, not like them ones you get in a little bag. They come back, two guys, two strong men, carrying a pole between them over their shoulder with one cluster of grapes hanging off that pole. And they said, Caleb, Joshua, we testify the land is exactly like God said it was. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And here's the fruit of the land to prove it. And somebody else goes, yeah, but there's giants in the land. Listen to me carefully. All the people quit looking at the grapes. It's as if the grapes became invisible. And they started imagining, B-5-O-Fum. They started imagining a giant or a whole land filled with them. In their mind, everybody over there was a giant all of a sudden. And not only are they giants, but they live in big fortified cities. And then one of them pops off and goes, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. I'm wondering which one of those big, brave people of faith walked up there and said, what do I look like to you, Mr. Giant? Giant goes, you look like a grasshopper. Ha, ha, ha. It didn't happen. Everybody say vain. Out loud, say vain. Imagination. Imagination, imaginary scenarios are created by words of people who want to doubt God's word and provoke fear. It was people. It was those other 10 spies, the faithless, those who didn't believe what God said. The Bible calls it this, an evil report. It doesn't say it's a negative report. says it's an evil report. Anything from anyone that contradicts what God said, that is an evil report, and you should reject it with fervor and vigor and say, I couldn't care less what they got to say. God says, and then you'd better know what he said, because your faith can't hang on, I think I heard that somebody's brother-in-law heard their mom say, you need to know what God said. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have, and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Let's look, Psalm 112, next Psalm, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed means empowered to prosper. It means empowered to succeed. It's not dependent upon circumstances. Blessed is the man who reveres the Lord, who reveres, not be afraid of, who finds great delight in his commands. Do you find delight in the commands of God? His children, this man is talking about, this blessed guy, his children will be mighty in the land. Anybody believe in God for your family? There's your verse. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. What kind of wealth and riches? Every kind, especially the spiritual kind. Because that's the only thing that really matters when it comes down, but why not be blessed? Amen. Now watch this. Verse 4. This is talking about the person who reveres the Lord and finds delight in his commandments. Watch this, verse 4. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Even in the darkness, light dawns for the upright. For the gracious, compassionate, righteous man. Hold your place in Psalms and go to the book of Exodus. Exodus 10:21. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness will spread over Egypt. Darkness that can be what? Felt. In other words, you can literally sense this presence of darkness. This is not a just somebody forgot to turn the light on darkness. This is a spiritual darkness. And it's so thick, the spiritual darkness is so thick that natural light wouldn't even shine. Verse 22, so Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. Everybody say the whole nation. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. You say, well, Pastor, why wouldn't they just light a lamp like they do every other night? It wouldn't work. Light was shut off. It's like God flipped the switch and said, the lights are off. Now what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. If the lights go off, you better know him who is light. I'm not worried about the lights going off. They went off before. Come on. It was so spiritually dark, no one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days, and yet, what? All the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. All God's covenant people had light in the midst of the darkness. And it was a darkness that was so dark that if you lit a match, it wouldn't even produce light. The darkness just sucked the light up like a black hole. did God's people live in the darkness? No, they were surrounded by it. But where they were, it was light. It could be as dark as it wants to all over the whole rest of the country, but where God's people were, it was what? Light. Everybody say, it didn't get dark in Goshen. Amen. Now back up one chapter to chapter 9, verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, verse 22, Exodus 9, 22. And we're going to look through 26. Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt, on men and on animals and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt, the whole nation, in other words. And when Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flashed down to the ground. And so the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, and hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. And it was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both men, animals, and it beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Come on. Give me a shout of praise. Listen, if it hails all over, what's going to happen where you are? Nothing. If lights go out and there's a darkness that sucks up all light, are you going to stumble around in the darkness? No, I'm not. Why not? Because God is God. He's my God and Him I trust. Amen? He's God. Amen. Let's look at another one. Ooh, I like these. These stir my faith up. Back up to 9:1, Exodus 9:1. The Lord said to Moses. Notice these all start with the Lord said this. Where's faith come from? Come on. The Lord said this. Say to the Pharaoh, go to Pharaoh, say to him, this is what the Lord God of the Hebrews says, let my people go, that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, your horses, your donkeys, your camels, your cattle, your sheep, your goats. But the Lord, listen to this, church, get a hold of this, verse 4, underline it, highlight it in your Bible if you got it. The Lord will do something. What's he going to do? He's going to make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt. Everybody say covenant matters. It does. The Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt so that no animal belonging to Israelites will die. And the Lord set a time saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this. And the next day the Lord did it. Come on. The next day the Lord did it and all the livestock of the Egyptians died. That's called a steak shortage. Came suddenly and quickly. But what about God's people? Did they still get to eat meat? Let's find out. Not one animal belonging to God's people, the Israelites, died. Church, listen to me. Can God bring judgment on sin? That's what God judges. He don't judge people. He judges sin. Can God bring judgment of sin even upon our great nation without harming His own people? Can He do it? The book says He already did. The Word of God, the written record that cannot be disputed. That's what this is. The infallible Word of God. He did it. He did it for a reason. What was the reason? See, well, he was provoking Pharaoh to let the people go. Okay. That being said, then why does it say every single time that Pharaoh's heart became hardened again? If that was the end goal, that Pharaoh would come around and get on the side of God's people, then God must have failed, because Pharaoh never came around to get truly on the side of God's people. When that last plague happened, the plague of the death of the firstborn, where the Israelites were commanded to do something that didn't make much sense and never been done before, but to take a male lamb without fault or blemish and kill it, eat it, consume every bit of it, it was the Passover lamb, and take the blood of that Passover lamb and put it upon your doorpost on both sides and over the top, and when the angel of death, the destroying angel, comes, he will pass you over because he sees the blood. The Bible tells us very clearly in the New Testament, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And it's the blood of Jesus covering not the doorpost of my physical home, but the entrance in and out of my spiritual home. Did you catch that? If the blood of Jesus does not cover the entrance and exit of your spiritual home, which is this, where you live right now, garbage is going to come into your home. You need a blood covering. Because that garbage is going to attract the judgment fire. God says, it's time to burn the trash. Peter said in the New Testament, if judgment begins at the house of God, what about people out there? Well, judgment does begin at the house of God, and we are the house of God. But don't worry about God condemning you because there's no condemnation in Christ. But God wants to judge the fruits of our tree, and he wants to prune us, church. Go read John 15. Jesus said, if you're clean, he's going to prune you so you can bear more fruit. This is a time to come clean, get clean, stay clean. Have the blood over the doorpost of your house. When that death angel, that destroyer came, all he did was look for the blood. You don't think he wanted to get in there? Death is greedy and never satisfied. Take everything if it could. And anybody without that covenant protection, their home was stricken, including Pharaoh's. And Pharaoh said, all right, that's enough. Take your stuff. Take our stuff for that matter. We don't care. How many know the Israelites plundered the Egyptians and came out loaded with silver and gold? Come on. It's called back wages. They've been there for 400 years slaving. They got back wages coming. Some of us got some back wages coming too. Amen. Hallelujah. God is the God of restoration and jubilee, and he'll give you that. They left out of there blessed. Pharaoh's, get, go. But what happened shortly thereafter? His heart turned back again, and here he come to pursue him and kill him. And God had to use what seemed like an insurmountable thing and open the Red Sea in order to let his people go across on dry land. Same God that we serve. Come on, if it looks like you're going to be overtaken, just lift up your voice and praise God that he is the one who makes a highway through the seas. He turns graves into gardens and bones into armies, Ezekiel 37. What have I got to be worried about? Oh, but I heard that there might be an attack on our power grid. I heard that too. And then I looked over here and I said, you know what? God was able to give them light even in supernatural darkness. He said, well, I heard it's going to be food shortage. God was able to protect their beef. That little old lady said, where's the beef? I said, up there with God's people. Amen. Am I inspiring you to have some faith and confidence in God? Is he the one who can protect you in the midst of it all? And does he care enough about you to do it? See, that's where your faith's really got to lie. Your faith's got to be founded and grounded on this fact. It's not just that God can or that God already has. But my faith is grounded on this fact that he loved me so much that he always will. He'll not tell me no for something that I need that he promised. He'll not leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today on the Truth Broadcast. We invite you to join us on next week's program as Pastor Dwight continues this powerful message from God's Word. If you would like to request a free digital copy of today's teaching in its entirety, contact us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. For prayer requests, you can call or text us at 580-515-4319.
Well, this is Pastor Dwight Shepherd, and once again, I'd like to invite you that if you're traveling here in Western Oklahoma or looking for a church home where you can grow in your relationship with Jesus, we'd like to invite you to join us here at Living Waters Church of Burns Flat. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So on behalf of myself and the church at Living Waters and all of us here at Truth Broadcast, thanks again for tuning in. God bless you in Jesus' name.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.